the people walking in darkness. It's interesting because December 21st, a few days ago, we had the longest night and the shortest day. And it's interesting because around the world, historically, throughout recorded history, people have always celebrated the time when the days start to get longer and the nights get shorter. Whether they're in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere, people have always taken the time to celebrate the truth of the times when the days start to get longer and the nights get shorter. What is it about us as creatures that we desire to be in the light rather than the darkness? If someone wants to bask in the darkness, we give them drugs. It's true. There is a need built in for us to be in the light. I have been going through some stuff, getting off of steroids that I was on for a long time because of an illness I had that killed me from, but doctors kept me on the steroids. And what was interesting was one of the things that they kept saying to me is you need to take more vitamin D. Maybe you've experienced that. But vitamin D is what you get from the sun. And so it was kind of interesting that they kept saying you got to take more and more. It's our desire, it's our passion, I think, as human beings, not to be in the darkness, but to be in the light. And it's interesting to me that historically, this festival, whether it was in Rome, starting on December 17th, with Saturnalia, celebrating the birthday of the sun god, Nimshi, on the 25th of December, and then the new year, on the 1st of January, or whether you were from the northern countries, I think some of you from your hair color probably were, from the northern countries, the Norse countries, where they took green trees into their homes and they lit logs called Yule logs, Y-U-L-E, to celebrate this festival, or whether you were German and you would bring in trees to celebrate to the god Odin. Now, throughout history, people have said, especially the cults, well, that's why you shouldn't celebrate Christmas, because it was a pagan festival. And I say, no, that isn't a reason not to celebrate Christmas. Although the church has always argued about this. Why is it December 25th? Why did Julius I in the 4th century decide that on December 25th we would celebrate Christmas, the Feast of the Nativity? Why on the 25th of December did he decide to proclaim that? Well, it goes back to the year 211, when the church was trying to figure out when the 14th day of Nisan, which is appears in the Jewish calendar, which is the traditional date for the conception of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so they found out that according to the year that they knew Jesus was born, to be between March 25th and April 6th. So suffice it to say that when the bishops gathered together and they figured out that it was March 25th, what did they think? If you're conceived on March 25th and you're born 9 months later, what date are you born on? And they figured that because the tradition was that it was the March 25th, so then it makes sense that they would put it on the 25th of December. Whatever reason you want to give for this really doesn't matter to me. Because my God is so much bigger than pagans. Okay? My God is so much bigger than the Norse, even though, you know, they're a lot taller and bigger. But, you know, the reality is he's bigger than the Yule. Okay? He's bigger than Odin. He's bigger than all those things that people throughout the centuries have used to try to celebrate the truth of the days getting longer and the nights getting shorter. I even thought it was kind of cool. I picked this up at the store. I thought, man, you know, you talk about people wanting to celebrate the truth of this festival, wanting to celebrate the truth of the lights at Christmas time. This is a flame that actually turns Christmas colors. You see, it's green. Pretty cool, hey? I mean, talk about a desire within our country, within humankind, to find the light, to to take out the darkness. What is it about us as human beings that the early Romans would light bonfires and light things in their houses to get rid of the darkness? What is it about us that makes us desire to get out of the darkness into light? What is it about us and some of us that like to have night lights in the hallway, not only because we stub our toes when we try to walk around the dark, but because there's something comforting about a little tiny light in the midst of a dark room that gives us just a sense of security? What is it about a society where we have to have lights? Just think about it. What are some of the greatest, most memorable things? Every community we've lived in, I think, as students and then as a pastor, we've found places where people light their homes. And either they have a lot of disposable income, or they like to support the power company. I don't know what it is, but there's always a place. I don't know, you probably have a place in your town, whether it's in Ypsilanti or Ann Arbor. There's always places, there's always homes where they really go overboard on the lighting thing, right? Ever notice that? And you ever notice how much traffic goes by that house during this time of the year? As a matter of fact, we had a place called Candy Cane Lane when we lived in BC, and it was hard. They had to actually ask one of the RCMP to go down there. So busy with people wanting to see the lights. You see, there's something about us. That is why we have. That is why light is so important. And there's no mistake that the people of Israel were waiting for this light to come. The true light, this great light. This is a word, the word is Gadol, which is a unique word in Hebrew, and it's the word for great. It's often akin to godly. You could say it's a this upon the people who are dwelling in darkness, a godly light has come. And they're trying to explain. Get down further into Isaiah chapter 9, and you see the names that they give for this light. First of all, they talk about what the light could do in the lives of the people, right? It's going to be like taking the spoils after a great victory and dividing them among each other. Isn't that what it says? It's like dividing the spoils. It's like taking all the things that you have struggled for victory when you've taken all of your blood-stained clothes and all these things that you have struggled with, all these things you've endured, all these things you've just put everything into to get to this victory. And you're going to take all those things out and you're going to burn them. Because that life is over. And the new has come. You see, that's the gift of the gospel. The gift of the gospel is we don't no longer have to fear sin. We no longer have to fear the darkness. We no longer have to fear eternal damnation. Because the true light, the great light, the God light has dawned. Because the true light has come. We have the promise of everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that should be a good reason to light our homes and our trees. I always think it's funny that the world does it and doesn't know why. We know why. It's an object lesson in the truth of what Edward Johnson, who was one of the first to light a Christmas tree with electric lights, he was associate of Thomas Edison. He knew there was some money to be made here. He actually put 60 light bulbs on the first tree. And after that, it was in 1882, and he rented light bulbs to people. And it cost them, in today's dollars, $2,000 to rent the light bulbs for a tree. He knew this was something that would people believe. And yet the people around us, they were doing all kinds of things to light. And it's so funny because if you think about it, they're trying to generate light. They're trying to generate the light that has come. I think that one of the best examples of this, I don't know how many of you remember the movie Christmas Vacation. Mr. Griswold is trying to light the house, if you remember on the movie. I didn't want to show the clip tonight because we have far too many things to do and it would take time. But he's trying to light the house and he's having a terrible time lighting this house. But finally he gets the things together, and he plugs it in, and all of a sudden the Alleluia chorus starts, and this huge light appears. Not till 2006, they have movie called Deck the Halls. Now, I suggest you rent these movies because I think there's some things on them that are kind of objectionable, so I don't want my children to watch them, and I don't, you know, I'm not doing this as a recommendation. But one of the things that shocked me in this whole thing with Deck the Halls, and I remember this, is that he wanted his house to be seen from space. So he took and he pawned his wife's heirloom. He basically put his whole life and his marriage on the line, all so that his house could be seen from space. Now, if you think about it from a Christian perspective, isn't that exactly the way the world thinks? Somehow we think we're going to impress God by working our way to be lights in the world. We somehow think that we can, by working our way towards righteousness, that we somehow can attain this wonderful gift, that we can somehow be a light to God. That makes sense? Well, it's kind of foolish, if you think about it, right? And yet, isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? We try to produce joy. We try to produce light. We try to do all these things because we know we need the light. We know we need the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know there's a big hole in our heart. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, we desire that relationship. And yet, we're not going to get that relationship even if our houses can be seen from space. We're not going to get the relationship by working harder. We're not going to get that relationship by doing more. We're not going to get that relationship by lighting. Because it's not about what we do. The reason we're here tonight is because God. Jesus left heaven to be born in that manger. The true light, the God light, the pure light has come. And that is the reason why we then can go out and be lights to a world that lives in darkness. Look at what it says. It is the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when getting the plunder. You see, our joy is going to be a shock to people from opening the presents on Christmas morning. Our joy does not come from punch at Christmas parties. Our joy does not come from the light show and the Christmas trees, and all those things. Those are beautiful things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting you don't have punch at the Christmas party. I'm not suggesting you don't have Christmas trees with great lights on them. I'm not suggesting you don't have presents on Christmas morning. Not in the least. My prayer and my request and my plea to you is remember why. Remember why do we have Christmas trees lit? Why do we lights in our homes? Why do these things? Because we are the light. And he wants offered us that relationship. And he's offered us all the things that go with it. The promise that we will see his glory when he comes again. The promise that we will live in pure light for eternity in heaven. The promise that whatever we need, he will provide. You see, that's the reason for the season. That's the true light. And if we leave here tonight wanting to live out that light, wanting to be reflectors of that light into a world that desperately needs it, I believe more than anything that we will see people rejoicing, not because they've generated the joy, but because it comes through Christ living in us. Through Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit living out in our lives as true lights going into the world reflecting Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that is why we can rejoice. That is why we can say, Merry Christmas, everyone. Because the true light has come. Amen. Please stand, and we're going to